हरिः ओम् सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गराधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। चार सो देन भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय टू अधिकरण वन। भक्ति इज ऑल ऑस्पिशियस रिमूव्स ऑल सिंस एंड देयर रिएक्शंस। सो देन वी डेल्ट विथ फियर, नाउ वी आर डीलिंग विथ ऑब्स्टिकल्स, राइट? देन तथा न ते माधव तव कः क्वचित् प्रश्रन्ति मार्गात् त्वयि बद्धसौहृदाः त्वया भिगुप्ता विचरन्ति निर्भया विना यखानि कपमूर्धसु प्रभो। ओ माधव, सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, लॉर्ड ऑफ द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्च्यून, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.33. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Devotees generally do not fall down, but if circumstantially they do, the Lord, because of their strong attachment to him, gives them protection in all circumstances. Thus, even if devotees fall down, they are still strong enough to traverse the heads of their enemies. We have acted, so the enemies then naturally are going to be the material qualities, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy, right? We have actually seen that our Krishna conscious movement has many opponents, such as the quote-unquote deprogrammers, who instituted a strong legal case against the devotees. We thought that this case would take a long time to settle, but because the devotees were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we unexpectedly won that case in one day. Thus, a case that was expected to continue for years was settled in a day because of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is promised in the Bhagavad Gita 9.31, Kaunteya pratijanihi na me bhaktya pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. In history, there have been many instances of devotees like Chitraketu, Indradumna, and Maharaj Bharata, who circumstantially fell down, but were still protected. Maharaj Bharata, for example, because of his attachment to a deer, thought of the deer at the time of death, and therefore in his next life he became a deer. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajant yante kalevaram, Bhagavad Gita 4.6. Because of protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the deer remembered his relationship with the Lord and next took birth in a good Brahminical family and performed devotional service. Suchi nam shrimatam gehe yoga brashto bijayate, Bhagavad Gita 6.41. Similarly, Chitraketu fell down and became a demon, Vritrasura, but he too was protected. Thus, even if one falls down from the path of bhakti yoga, one is ultimately saved. If a devotee is strongly situated in devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has promised to protect him. Kaunteya pratijanihi na me bhaktya pranashyati, Bhagavad Gita 9.31. But even if a devotee circumstantially falls down, he is protected by Madhava. The word Madhava is significant. Ma, Mother Lakshmi, the mother of all opulences, is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the opulences of the Lord are ready to help him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.33, purport. Yeah, so then here's just, very nicely is that bhakti, if one falls on the path of bhakti because that being fixed in devotional service, then one then Krishna continues to protect and they move forward in their devotional service. You know, unlike karma yan, you fall from those paths because it's about the work you're doing. And the purpose is just that work. So I'm doing karma for karma. So when I fall down, then the point is then you don't, means then you getting, start to get the results, you know, from the work that you're doing there. You don't progress further on karma, you know, unless, you know, after a long time, then you get, then come back. So that's the point. Someone may complain that, you know, but he's not performing devotional service on that. But the point is Krishna's pointing who's in love with me, right? But that completely in love sometimes fall. So the point is being said there, because that is Bhagavatam 10.2.33. Then the demigods are making the point. So then is that demigods or Krishna's making? No. Oh yeah. No, this is devotees. So then, you know, you could say, oh, but the devotee won't fall down. But you're saying if they do, it's circumstantial, it's the environment around them. It's not their devotion to the Supreme Lord. They get distracted by previous samskaras. They get to practice, you know, impressions like that. So then the point is then it comes down to that always, you know, that steadiness, always in love, that steadiness means that they have that faith in the process of bhakti, that they know that bhakti is the only process. So even if they're performing bhakti, they do bhakti, even if they fall down from the standard practice of bhakti, still the only way to, again, you know, move forward in anything is through bhakti, you know, with the intent, you know, the intent of pure bhakti. So therefore, then that faith in bhakti and faith in the Lord and in the spiritual master, that's what's going to take them forward. So that's why they're still saintly situated. Now, someone else might fall down and giving up that faith in the holy name, faith in Krishna and the devotional process. Yes, then Krishna takes care. It means that they're going to at some point come back. But it's just a matter of you don't necessarily see that they remain in that kind of saintly position. It's just you have to see the position of their development of their faith. That's the main thing. So previously, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, it was said that even liberated persons fall from the spiritual goal. They disrespect the Lord. This is not so for the devotees. This is stated in the verse quoted above. As the person mentioned previously who has ascended to the highest position falls, the position performing sadhana bhakti does not fall from the path of bhakti. For one sees that Gajendra and Bharata continued their bhakti though they fell from human life. Yeah, so it's that they're continuing. The other might go and get distracted, you know, go for heavenly pleasures or, you know, other things like that, and then come back, you know, at some point like that. So that's the idea, is that the position they're in, it's such, because the demigods, they're always, you know, they serving the Supreme Lord. That's their position. Their offices are serving the Supreme Lord. So there's no question that they're not going to be exposed to Krishna consciousness. Or having finished their time in the heavenly planets, when they come back to the earth, then they take birth in families where that particular kind of, you know, element that was important for them, you know, Brahminical families or wealthy families or, you know, some kind of family that they will be able to relate to, that also then has that some connection or opportunity for connection with Krishna consciousness. But it, you know, it's saying that those even liberated persons, as they're progressing, if they disrespect the Lord or in some way that the devotees, they fall down, then there's no protection for them, because they never took shelter of bhakti with faith. They simply took shelter of bhakti to get their karma or jnana. So continuing, muktapi prapadyante punas samsara vasanam yad yachintya maha shaktau bhagavat yaparadinaha. If they offend the Lord endowed with inconceivable shakti, the liberated souls are again subject to impressions of samsara vasana bhasya. They follow desires in samsara again. Or another meaning is as follows. Just as those who disrespect you undoubtedly fall, as described in the first verse, and just as your devotees undoubtedly remain unswayed, both scenarios are equal in terms of certainty, whether falling or not falling, because they are bound with friendship to you, bada sauridaha, having great faith as sadhakas. The devotees are protected by you and wander about, traversing the heads of their opponents. Right? So it's certain. It's certain that if they're not devotees, you know, then if they offend the Lord, they will fall down. And it's certain that if the devotee, even he circumstantially falls, he will continue in his devotional service. The Devatas place many obstacles on the path of those who worship you and surpass Swarga and attain Vaikuntha. But those who offer the Devatas their assigned shares and sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the Devas place before him. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.4.10. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. What to speak of you? Even your devotees do not care for us by your mercy. Right? Because this verse before from the Bhagavatam, that's spoken by the demigods, right? So he's saying, what to speak of you, Krishna? He doesn't care for the demigods, meaning their position. As devotees, he cares. But their position, it's just a manifestation of one of his vibhutis, one of his opulences. We have created many obstacles for them. Why do the Devatas create obstacles? The devotees surpass Swarga and attain Vaikuntha. This means the Devatas are envious of the devotees, right? Because it's mentioned before as the problem in karma is envy. So because the devotee is surpassing and going, you know, past the position of Swarga to Vaikuntha, then the demigods, because they're neophyte devotees, so, you know, they'll be basically performing some aspect of karma yoga or karma misra bhakti. And so then for them, then it will bother them that they're devotees, but this devotee gets way much better results than they're getting. So naturally envy's there. So we can see is that in the society of devotees, if they're interested in karma or position and, you know, facilities and that, there's always going to be envy. So one tries to avoid those positions of envy by, you know, being just engaged in the service of the Lord. And so without any other desire, and then by his grace, all those who are giving the trouble, one will cross over, no matter how great it is. Like we, you know, saw before those examples and that, or you see, like the Pandavas, they cross over the obstacles given by Duryodhana. You know, so there's always going to be some element there. But we see the demigods, you know, they also create problem. I think it was Maharaj Sibi. Then the demigods came to test and all that, gave him trouble. And, you know, so there's always going to be something. This means the Devatas are envious of the devotees. Others, the performers of karma, do not have obstacles. Why? They have given the proper share of sacrifice to Indra and others, like farmers giving to the king. Quote, will my devotees fall because of your obstacles? No, certainly. Yadi, because you are the lord of the Devatas and the protector of the devotee puts his foot on the head. He saw foot and head and then said head, right? On the foot, puts his foot on the head of the obstacles. So there's no worry that the devotees fear any obstacles. Sartartha Darshani 11.4.10. So the devotees don't have to do the karma and all that. They're just serving Krishna. Demigods put obstacles, then, you know, it happens. But because Krishna is the lord of the demigods and he's the protector of the devotees, everything will work out for the devotee. And so then there's going to be some purification for those devotees that purification of those obstacles have then going to be advantageous, or there's no nothing to get purified, but they're just to set a nice example, like we see the Pandavas. They're just setting example. They don't have any kind of material desires or anything to purify. Then, yan astaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit davan nirmil ya va netre na skalen na pathed iha. O king, one who accepts this process of devotional service will never be affected by pride. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.35. So this is 11.2, this O King. So that would maybe the Nava Yogendras speaking to, was it Maharaj Nimi, right? Mm-hmm. Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The power of the process is explained. Taking shelter of bhakti, having faith, ashta means faith. Yeah, yan ashtaya naro rajan. Just having faith in the process, what to speak of performing it, a person will never be strongly affected by pride, madhyeta. However, in karma yoga, the practitioner becomes proud. You know, or not pramadyeta can mean, quote, he never becomes inattentive. Oh no, he never becomes inattentive, end quote. That means the obstacles cannot overpower him. So the karmis or yogis, they're going to become proud because they worked hard, they've accomplished something, and because that's what everything's about, is that accomplishment and gaining. So they become proud of what they've gained, right? While the devotee, then he doesn't become proud. It says strongly affected. There might be something, but it will vary. He doesn't become inattentive, right? Because you can say, well, it says some, but you know, but it's not about that. It's not strongly. It's not enough to distract. But because he doesn't become inattentive, he's still applying himself nicely in devotion, even if somehow or another, by chance, there is some pride, but he doesn't become attentive in the devotional service. So he'll cross over that pride. But for the karmis, they become proud, they become inattentive and sit back, and then there's always the problem. That's what they say. You know, even the karmis understand that point. Somebody becomes very big and powerful, they become inattentive to things because they think they're so great, and then things start going wrong. Moreover, taking shelter of bhakti, whether having his eyes open or closed, while running, the person does not stumble or fall. Someone might offer an easy process and say, run with your eyes closed using the method taught by me, but do not have any doubt. Running means moving by putting a foot forward and placing it on the earth. One may stumble by going a little and more likely one will fall by moving for a longer time. But if one performs a little or a lot of one anga of the whole of bhakti, there's no loss as there is in karma, right? So they won't fall. So in the karmi, the jnani, they'll become attentive because of that pride, and then they'll fall, and then that's it. But for the devotee, because he's engaged in devotional service with attention, he will not lose the result that's there. Karma and yan, you will lose the result. That's guaranteed. That's what I mentioned before. It's certain they will lose the result. And it's certain the devotees will not lose the result. Though one is ignorant at present, closing the eyes, if one performs bhakti without awareness, it is not a fault. What to speak of then performing bhakti with awareness, right? So even one is doing and one's distracted, one's performing devotional service, like you're chanting your rounds, your mind's distracted, you're still going to be getting benefit. You're still moving forward because that chanting, that namabhas, that will bring you forward like that to the point where you are always aware, and then it will become shudanam, and that then will give you prema. So the point is the devotee always progresses. That's the point. So even if he's ignorant, you know, by closing eyes, still he'll move forward. While the karmi, he closes his eyes in ignorance, then his, you know, or that pride as it mentions, then it doesn't work. It stops working, the process, and he's not getting any more benefit. Not performing even one anga, however, is a fault, right? So maybe he has many to perform, but he somehow or another becomes distracted and is only performing, you know, less or even just one. Because he's performing one, he'll always move forward. But he says not performing even one anga, however, is a fault. Since it was said that one should have faith in bhakti, right? So if you have faith in bhakti, you're going to do something, you know, even if you're not going to the temple or doing different things, but you're chanting or you're reading or you're associating with the devotees and serving the devotees, or, you know, at home, you're doing some worship or, you know, something you're doing, right? Acting in such a way, one will fall from the correct path, and to follow another path to attain the Lord is a big fault. Right. So that's why I mentioned before. Oh, but you can do this. So you fall from what is being given. Then, you know, and you take some other path like that, you know, that made by the sahajiyas, that made by the, you know, the intellectuals, that made by all these things. That will be a big fault. Right. So he's not saying little fault, big fault. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Upatayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures, like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra, is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. From the Brahma Yamala. So this is being quoted by Sardartha Darshini, 11.2.35. So it says simply an unnecessary disturbance. Not that, oh, well, it's an okay thing. No, it's just unnecessary. So therefore, devotional service, excuse me, the window needs to be closed. So the it's an unnecessary disturbance because it's not favorable to bhakti. It's not an authorized thing that scripture's there. You know, somebody's made it up. You know, he said, oh, you just followed the path that I made up. And then you can close your eyes there. So you can be in ignorance following their path and nothing will happen. No. It's only in bhakti where you have that faith in bhakti that, yes, bhakti is the actual thing. But if you leave that and go somewhere else or take up other processes that are not like that, then it's not good. Brahma and others spoke thus to the Lord, right? Because that was from the tenth canto of the second chapter when the demigods came to offer prayers to Devaki. Riti. Having ascertained that bhakti removes all obstacles and bestows all desires, the next anucheda proves that bhakti relieves one from the bondage of sense gratification. Anucheda 122. Navai jatu mrishaiva syat praja jyaksha madarhanam. Bhavad vidveshvati taram mai sangri bitatmanam. Director of the progeny, the worship of persons such as you who fully concentrate on me in their hearts is never fruitless. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.21.24. Udriti Srila Prabhupada. Even if he has some desires, one engaged in the service of the Lord is never frustrated. Right? Those engaged in the service are called sakama and akama. Those who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with desires for material enjoyment are called sakama. And those devotees who have no material desires for sense gratification but serve the Supreme Lord out of spontaneous love for him are called akama. Sakama devotees are divided into four classes: those in distress, those in need of money, the inquisitive, and the wise. Someone worships the Supreme Lord because of bodily or mental distress. Someone else worships the Supreme Lord because he is in need of money. Someone else worships the Lord out of inquisitiveness to know him as he is. And someone wants to know the Lord as a philosopher can know him by their search work of his wisdom. There's no frustration for any of these four classes of men. Each is endowed with the desired result of his worship. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.21.24 purport. Right. So here the example is given of, Kardama, I think. Yes. Cause he was a progenitor. And then he had approached the Lord, you know, to take up, family life and that, because he saw he had desire. And so he wanted to, engage that desire in the Lord's service and then come to the point where he would go beyond that. Cause he saw then when Kapila Muni then was born and came and then manifest, you know, a mature position where he took care of his mother and instructed and guided. Then, Kardama then left for the forest. So we see is that, you know, that it brings one to that point. Whatever it is from Sakam, it will bring one to Akam. That's the power of bhakti. Well, karma, you have a desire. You're going to go for that desire. And if you're not getting close to that desire or attaining, you don't do the work. And even you attain the desire, you give up the process. Same with jnana. Unless it's favorable for getting what you want, you don't follow it. And when you get what you want, you give up the process. But in bhakti, the process itself then brings you to the point of where you have nothing to gain from the process. And then for yourself, you only want to please the Lord. And then you continue that process because that's the eternal nature of the soul, is to always be engaged in the process of bhakti. Sangri bitat manam means persons who are bound to me, as in the following. Padyamano pi madbhakto vishayer ajitendriyaha. Ayaf pragalbhyaya bhaktya vishayer nabhi bhuyate. My devotee has not fully conquered his senses. He may be bound by material desires, but because of his generally strong bhakti, he will not be defeated by sense gratification. Srimad Bhagavatam 14.18. Rudriti, Srila Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur. Right, so this is on the point of being bound to me, right? Though the devotee is distressed by sense objects, he is not overcome, because both verbs are in the present tense. It implies that even while being harassed by sense objects, he is not really harassed since bhakti is present. A person who is attacked by the weapons of an enemy cannot be defeated because of the presence of his bravery. Or, on the day that a powerful medicine is taken to prevent fever, though the fever still causes suffering, it is not a real cause of suffering, since the fever is a state of being destroyed and will be completely destroyed the next day. Sardarta Darshani 11.14.18. So even though the devotee may have material desire because he's following the path of bhakti, then, you know, because of that faith and all that, then it's like the act of bravery. So then the person, even though he's attacked with weapons, then he can defend himself. And then the other is that even though there may be a state of fever, so there's some suffering, but because of the practice of bhakti, that's the actual medicine for getting rid of the fever of the material entanglement. So then naturally just it's just a matter of time. It may seem to be there now, but it's going away. So it's not really suffering because they don't really have that fever. Okay, then continuing, quote unquote, being bound means that sometimes the person becomes attracted to the Lord by meditation. He is thus not defeated. Right? Jato shadho mat katasu nirvinas sarva karmasu veda dukat makan kaman parityage pyani shvaraha. Tato bhaje tamam pritas shraddhalur dridha nishchayaha jushamanas chatan kaman dukho darkams cha garhayam. Having developed faith in topics about me and being disgusted with all karmas, A devotee knows that all enjoyments are filled with misery, but he is unable to give them up. Still, with affection for me, with faith and determination, he will continue worshiping me, while at the same time partaking of those enjoyments which give rise to suffering and yet condemning them. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 20, 27, and 28. Right, so here, being, like you mentioned, this is on the point, being bound means that sometimes the person becomes attracted to the Lord by meditation, right? So he's bound because he keeps going back to the Lord. Because he sees the material energy, then he may be attracted by things of the material energy, but he knows that it's not going to give happiness, though by habit and that attachment he's engaging, he sees that it gives the trouble and it's not giving the results that karma promises. And so therefore then he just step by step, by the power of bhakti, overcomes that and comes to the position of akama. Right, so yeah. Udriti, Śrīla Viṣṇuvāt Cakravarti Thakura. In two verses, Krishna speaks of the initial state of a person qualified for bhakti. He is disgusted with the results of karma, ruling Vedic ritual, and ordinary life. Disturbed by seeing the unhappiness it caused. This repeats what was said earlier. He is not overly attached to karma, verse 8. He knows that desires which give rise to attachment to wife and sons are filled with suffering, but he is unable to give them up. Having entered such a condition, he resolves, let my attachment for family be destroyed or increased. Let there be millions of obstacles to my worship, or let the obstacles be destroyed. Let me go to hell if I have committed offenses by keeping these desires, but I will not give up bhakti. I will not accept karma or jnana, even if Brahma personally comes and orders me. And so he's not going to take up the process of karma. He's always going to be engaged in bhakti. So he's engaging the senses and his, you know, his family and his facilities in Krishna's service. But, you know, there may be an attachment to being engaged in that kind of activity, but he's not going to give that up for just being engaged in karma or jnana like this. He's just not going to give them up. He's going to continue with his service to Krishna. He says, it doesn't matter what happens. There's obstacles, no obstacles, he's going to serve Krishna. Because some people, when there's obstacles, they may think of Krishna. And then when there's no obstacles, then, oh, Krishna's so nice. Or the other way is when there's no obstacles, you know, it's nice, they forget Krishna, get absorbed in the sense gratification. No, okay, whatever. So whether when Krishna fulfills their material facilities, then they have faith, or when they absorbed in Krishna, then they have faith. So in any case, if they have obstacles or not, then they're not going to be disturbed. Because some people, it's like Krishna takes away the obstacles, then they have faith Krishna's taking care. Or others, he gives obstacles so they think, oh, Krishna's trying to tell me, don't get attached. In any case, he's going to be always engaged in Krishna's service, no matter what comes. If things are nice, not nice, he's always going to be. So some people, when it's not nice, they go away from Krishna. But here it's no. They're going to be fixed in devotional service. So that faith and bhakti is the central feature that you see coming up again and again. So it's not the external environment that he has that faith and he's always engaged in bhakti, but the circumstances he's in, that's not necessarily the point to make the judgment by on this situation. So if you make that judgment on the circumstantial, that means then you're not having the faith in bhakti. So it is coming from a neophyte position or a neophyte understanding. So then one would want to see things from the proper point of faith, that bhakti is the main thing. So if one has that, then everything will work. Just like someone may still have the fever, but he's taking the medicine, then, and it's proper medicine by the proper doctor, it's gone. It's just a matter of time. That's all. It is understood here that the tendency in bhakti is for the devotee to reveal his miserable condition to the Lord, right? So he's going to be telling the Lord about how, you know, this is unfortunate and that he's distracted, but he, you know, he continues that faith in the Lord. So he continues that dialogue with the Lord. Sukadeva spoke thus to Kardama. Right. Preeti. The next two anuchetas prove that bhakti relieves one from all kinds of fear. Anucheta 123. Bhakti removes fear of wicked jivas. Dig gajer dandasu kendrer abhi chara vapa tanaihi maya bhi saniro dhaischa gara dhaner abho janaihi himavai vyagni shali life para vata kraman ner api nashashaka yada hantum apapam asuras sutam chintam dirgatam mam chintam dirgata mam praptas tatkaratum nabhyapadyata. Hiranyakashipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing him among huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a hill, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.43-44. So you can see the example of the wicked jiva here is Hiranyakashipu. He really used his intelligence to find up, unique ways to get rid of his son. Who comes up with that? Throwing them beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing amongst big, huge, fearful snakes. Destructive spells, holding from a mountain, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison. Okay, some people use that. Starving him, that sometimes is used. Exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water, that not necessarily, sometimes. But just, he uses everything. And so now he is in great anxiety what to do next because he's tried everything. Right? And none of them are working. So that's just showing that bhakti removes fear from wicked jivas. Right? So the fear, wicked jivas, because they're envious. So applying that envy, that's the obstacle come up. So bhakti removes the fear of the effect of others' envy. One should also see Vishnu Purana descriptions. The elephant tusks were harder than thunderbolts, but Prahlad did not feel them. Right? So elephants have those big, big tusks, and they're talking about big elephants. So there's a good chance he's brought in the biggest that I know of with the elephants in general would be like the war elephants, because there's five kinds of elephants. So you have the temple elephant, the war elephant, the work elephant, and then two others that I don't remember. So the war elephants will be very big and very, aggressive and know how to destroy things. So the feet of the elephant, they stomp on them or they use their tusks and all that, like with I think Airavata, then with Hiranyakashipu, he ran him through with his tusk. Yeah, with Ravana. And so so Ravana has this big, the size of an elephant tusk, and they're quite big, right in the middle of his chest. And so, because it went right through. And so he made this like diamond, or jewel encrusted, gold ornament that he would slide inside so you can, the hole remains so that, people can appreciate that he was, been gored by Airavata and he's still fine. In fact, he's put a nice little ornament, all kinds of, just adds to his bling, so. Like that is that these are so they're not even, he didn't even feel them. Like a Ravana felt it, they went through, but it didn't kill him, right? And so then, but Prahlad doesn't even feel them, right? And so they're trying to get him there, trying to stomp this, and they can't do anything. Nayatra sarvanadini rakshognani svakarabasu kurvanti sattvatam bhartur yatu dhanyascha tatrahi. Wherever people in any position perform chanting and hearing about the devotees and the Lord while doing their duties, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokula while the Supreme Lord was personally pleasant. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.3. Yatra puja paro vishnur vahnis tatra nabhadyate nabhadate raja va taskaro vapi vyadhayash chana santihi pretaf pisacha kush pisacha kushmanda graha bala grahastata Dakinyo rakshashas chaiva nabhadyante chutar chakam. When a person worships Vishnu, there is no obstacles, no wicked kings, no thieves, and no illness. Okay, so graha can also mean obstacles. Okay, because the planets are also known as graha. So then, but they're the ones that create the obstacles, right? Because of your chart, then they apply influence and you get the particular obstacles. Okay. Pretas, Pishachas, Kushmandas, Balagrahas, Dakinis, and Rakshasas do not obstruct the worshiper of Vishnu. Okay. So no obstructions. Narada Purana 110:8-9. Nard spoke thus to Yudhishthira. Anucheda. So we're showing so many heavy duty things, right? No obstacles, no wicked kings, no thieves, no illnesses. Then pretas, pishachas, kushmandas, balagrahas, dakinis, rakshasas, those are very serious. Do not obstruct the worshipper of Vishnu. Nard spoke thus to Yudhishthira. Anucheda 124. Sharira manasa divya vavyase ye cha manushaha. Bhautikas chakatam klesha bhadhante hari samshrayam. O Vidura, how can miseries arising from the body, mind, ghosts, other humans, or natural conditions bind up a person who has taken shelter of the Lord? Srimad Bhagavatam 3:22-37, right? So They come from body, mind, most other human beings, all these natural conditions, they come up, but they don't affect the devotee because they're absorbed in the Lord. They know the Lord has some plan and he's taking care of, what is appropriate. It is also said, nacha durva sasas sapo vajram chapi suchi patehi hantum samartam purusham Hridishte Madhusudane. When a person's mind is fixed on Vishnu, the curse of Durvasa and the thunderbolt of Indra cannot harm him. Garuda Purana 1:234-33. Right, so we see Durvasa, he came in to give trouble to the Pandavas, he came to give trouble to Ambarish Maharaj, but nothing could happen. And the thunderbolt of Indra, couldn't hurt Vritrasura. He just went into meditation on Krishna and left, and then Indra spent the next year trying to cut off his head, though actually Vritrasura had already left before. Maitreya spoke thus to Vidura. Anucheda 120. Oh, okay. Then Riti. How are we doing here? Okay. The next Anucheda emphasizes emphasizes that bhakti can effortlessly destroy all sins of a devotee, just as a blazing fire effortlessly burns the wood to ashes. Anucheda 125. Since sins are destroyed, even aparada sins are destroyed. Footnote 1. These are reactions whose effects will be experienced in future lives. Right? Even aparada sins means, aprarabdha sins, not aparada. Aprarabdha sins. So your prarabdha karma is your body. So then the aparabdha are going to be what's not seen of prarabdha that's going to come in future lives. Just like, let's say in this life you have a certain situation, maybe that's supposed to continue for many lives. So even that many lives of what's there, bhakti is getting rid of what's happening this life, but also in the future. Yatagni su samriddharchi karotye kamsi pas masat tata mad vishaya bhaktir udhavai namsi krits nasaha. O Uddhava, just as a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, similarly, devotion to me completely burns to ashes sins committed by my devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-19. Commentary says, just as blazing fire for cooking turns wood to ashes, so bhakti to me, using words, etc., destroys all sins. The Lord calls out to Uddhava in astonishment at the greatness of his own bhakti. O Uddhava, hear this with astonishment. Right, so even Krishna is amazed at the greatness of his devotional service, that it can conquer over anything and everything. Right, so because it can conquer him, so we have to remember, if bhakti can conquer Krishna, who's unconquerable, why can't it conquer anything from the material world? So to think that, oh no, bhakti can't do that, or it'll take so long, this, that, that means, but then the point is bhakti can conquer Krishna, who's unconquerable. Why can't it get rid of all these other things? Why would one not have that faith? So here's the point, is that even Krishna is impressed by the power of bhakti, right? So even like, it is also said, Yatagni su samriddharchi karot ye ka ye karot ye dhamsi bhas masat papani bhagavad bhaktis tata dahati tat kshanat. Just as fire turns wood to ashes, bhakti to the Lord burns up sins immediately. Padma Purana 585-31. Right, so it says immediately, not just, you know, it takes long, it's hard work, you know, like that, you know, bhakti is sweating. No, just patitas kalito bhagna sandashtas tapta ahataha harir it yava stenaha puman narhati yatanaha. A person who chants the name of the Lord while falling from a cliff, stumbling on the road, receiving injury, I guess, to his body, being bitten by snakes, tormented with fever, or being attacked with sticks, will not suffer hellish punishment. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:2-15. So that the so that means, as they were saying about the future sins, is whatever it is, you know, even if they're coming to the end of this life because they're remembering the Lord, chanting the holy name, they're not going to receive a furtherance of that. It means all that sins is destroyed by remembrance of the Lord, like we see with Ajamil. You know, he remembered the Lord at the time of death, and nothing. You know, he continued on in that body to perform devotional service. Though the potential mood or imperative mood is not used in the verb, the statement can still be regarded as an injunction similar to the statement Pusha Pravishta Bhago Yad Agnyeyashta Kapalo Pavati. The portion of Pusha should be divided into 8 portions of Agni. This statement is also not expressed as an injunction, but acts as such. So he's pointing out as, no, this is the standard. It's not that, okay, it's saying those things, it's nice, but this is what we're going to do. No, the injunction means this is how you judge things. This is what's being done. So the point of the Mimamsa is that, you know, your hermeneutics is, this is how you measure. Your metric is this, is that bhakti destroys all sins. Someone who takes shelter of the Lord, then they don't suffer hellish punishment. So all this kind of thing, that must be seen. That's the standard. You can't use some other standard. As it said previously, if you're performing bhakti with faith, even if sometimes, you know, due to ignorance, you may be engaged in other things, but you have faith in the devotional process and you don't think the material actually has anything to actually offer, then even if one is distracted, one does not fall from the path of bhakti. Right. But if you take up on some other path, being, you know, somehow or another disillusioned or distracted and think, oh, there's something more, there's something better, you know, or something different or something that matches my own attachments and take up that, then as it says, it's just a disturbance to the process of bhakti. You know, because that's what is being pointed out. So that itself, that then there can be that that doesn't give you that shelter. It doesn't give you the protection. So here it's an injunction. This is the way it is. It's explaining it, but it's an injunction. That's the point that he's pointing out. And he's giving it a Vedic example so that you can see as, yes, that same grammar is being used. So that's indirect. So he's saying direct injunctions are also given, right? So in other words, the direct ones are there. And the indirect, supporting the direct, they're also of the same thing. It's not that, oh, this is direct, we have to do that. But here it's indirect, we don't have to do it. Tasmad Bharata Saravatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Cheshchata Bhayam Chaitchata. Okay. The Lord who is Paramatma, Bhagavan, and Lord of power should be heard about, glorified, and remembered by those desiring freedom from fear. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.15. Yeah, so the whole point is freedom from fear. And as we mentioned, fear comes from envy in the path of karma and from loneliness in the path of jnana. So those who want to be free from the material entanglement, then they must take shelter. They should hear and glorify and remember the Lord. The word tasmat indicates a reason and thus indicates the fault of not hearing and glorifying the Lord. Just as fire burns by its nature, bhakti also manifests effect without dependence on rules. Right. So even though in the path of karma, it would be a fault, on the path of bhakti, it's an obstacle that will be overcome. So one's not saying it's nothing. It's saying, yes, it's an obstacle. It's a distraction, but it will be overcome. Well, in karma, it can be overcome. One has to take up other processes to deal with it. Yan ashtaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit dhavan nimilya va netre Naskalen na pated iha. O king, one who accepts this process of devotional service will never be affected by pride. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip and fall. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.35. Right? So he's brought back this point, is that because of that faith, you know, that accepts this process, he accepted this and he's engaged in it, then he'll always, everything will always work. Right, we see, as that Prabhupada mentioned, you know, so those devotees in the early 60s and 70s, and the, He was talking about them being third-class pure devotees. They didn't understand all the technicals of the philosophy, but had faith that, no, devotional service is the thing, and we just do that and serve Krishna, you know, under Prabhupada's directions. And, you know, then everything will be perfect. As the material world has nothing to offer, then we just take devotion. So that's the point of the pure devotion. So it's that faith in the process. That's what makes it. But they were third class because they didn't know the philosophy. Now, if one doesn't have that faith and doesn't know the philosophy, then it's not a third class devotee. I mean, it's not a third class pure devotee, right? So he may be a second class pure devotee in that he has faith in it, though the practice may be going nicely or not, you know, or we even see is that someone in the plasma, first class devotee, then if they make some mistake or all that, but their faith and devotional service, everything continues on, right? Their devotion continues. The Lord's, okay. The word su samridhar chit, blazing fire, in the Padma Purana quotation refutes the notions that bhakti is dependent on other sadhana. That is hard to perfect, and that's its results are slow. Thus, Padma Purana says the effect is immediate. Tat kshanat. The Lord spoke thus, right? You want to make sure it's, yes, okay, a long time it'll take, but no, it was immediate. So what's the problem? Someone does something, someone falls, someone gets distracted. What's the problem? The problem is not being absorbed in Krishna. It's not the problem of the reaction of sin, because that's burnt up by the bhakti that they're performing. The problem is just that distraction and attachment. So working on that and being focused in bhakti, that will go away. So bhakti is the only solution. There is no other solution, or do something really hard and tough and all that. Those things, as Manu mentions, are simply for the common person. That's all they're for. They're not actually for the Brahmins, for the Kshatriyas. They're for the common person, you know, or for, you know, someone who's more grossly materialist, for the, you know, who are so absorbed in karma, jnana, not so much. They don't have faith in that, but in karma, then it's there. But the point is those with material desire, then they'll have more faith in these kind of things that are hard to perform and do. And yes, then it was some. And it's, no, it's just the bhakti is the one that's going to work. So that's the point the Lord has made. He's made that point. Okay, so we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki.